Hello, I'm Steve Wiggins, and this is podcast number 16 of the Sex and Violence in the Ancient World blog. Today's topic is going to be history, the modern mythology. When we think of myth, most of us tend to think of the stories of gods and heroes of ancient times, maybe the Greeks or Romans and their stories of Jupiter or Zeus or any of the myriad other gods that were recognized in those days. Or we maybe think of other more ancient myths, those of the people of Ugarit or Mesopotamia or ancient Egypt. What all of these things have in common, though, is that they are stories about meaning, or meaningful stories. In today's nomenclature, we tend to think of a myth as something that is untrue. We've all heard it. When somebody hears something that's blatantly false, they say, oh, it's just a myth, or that's only a myth. And what we mean by that is that this story or rumor that we've heard is untrue, is false. In fact, it would be difficult to think of a more radical departure from ancient thought than one which says that myth is false. Now, the definition of what myth is one of those ongoing debates. There's no universal agreement about what defines a myth. Some myths have gods, some don't. Some have characteristic events and episodes. Others are very difficult to define in those terms. But what we do know is that in the ancient world, myths generally are stories that are meant to convey meaning. In other words, they are stories that are true. These stories may have no historical basis, and for the ancient mind, as far as we are able to determine, that is not important. They're not concerned whether something really happened. Far more of interest to them is whether or not the story conveys meaning. And if the story is true in that sense, if the story truly conveys a meaning that is important, then it is a myth or it is truth, as we would call it today. So we come to the place where we think of things as being important if they're historical, and the measure of its importance is how significant it is in our historical reality. In the ancient world, many stories do not deal with historical reality, and yet were clearly important enough to be written down and preserved, some of them copied over and over for generations because of their importance. Unfortunately, we can't break back into the actual minds or brains of ancient people to see if they really believed the contents of these stories or really thought that they actually happened the way that they're described. But we know that belief was not always a major component of ancient religion. We do know that in all likelihood, no one ever actually empirically observed Baal or Asherah or any of the other ancient deities they told stories about. No one actually saw Zeus or shared a bed with him as in the ancient Greek myths. We do know that these were stories that were told because they were meaningful, not just for entertainment's sake. And when we look at these stories, we can see that they had a value, a religious value, if you will, for ancient people. They didn't tell them simply to make themselves happy or to pass a winter's night. Right now, I'm in the process of reading Neil Gaiman's book, American Gods. One of my students at Rutgers University has lent it to me for a short time, and I'm quite enjoying it. The thesis behind Gaiman's novel is that the old gods have emigrated to America and have somehow survived from ancient times into the modern period. And they are somewhat disappointing as gods because they're not as powerful or as almighty as we'd like to think of a deity as being. But they do try to struggle in this newfound world that they live in. And they often think that this is an interesting idea, that ancient stories are trying to convey the way that gods would interact if they ever came into contact with people. We have no reason to believe that ancient people walked around seeing gods everywhere, or that they had the experience of running into a god on the street. they believed, perhaps, if there's that word again, belief is such a difficult word when dealing with ancient religions, but they perhaps believed that the gods were there and that there were there was evidence of those gods. You could see it in the way the world operated in inclement weather or in bad crops, or conversely in good crops, or with when the weather was cooperative. All of these things seemed to be the activities of the gods, but nobody actually saw these deities out there. Now, in this situation, they had to figure out, of course, what the gods wanted and how to placate these gods. And the myths provide a basis for them to make some sort of informed decision in this regard. So they had stories that told what the gods liked and what the gods disliked, what angered the gods, what pleased the gods. These things can be conveyed in story, and the story conveys the truth. The truth based on a history of having dealt with gods in the past and knowing what the result of pleasing or displeasing a god might be through a specific action. So a story doesn't have to be historically accurate to be true. One of the great losses of our modern times, maybe it's one of the costs of the Enlightenment, is that we seem to have lost touch with the fact that meaning can be separate from historicity, that events can be meaningful and significant, indeed can even be true, even if they didn't happen. I often share with my students the idea that stories that didn't happen still can be true. The example I like to use, of course, is the story of George Washington cutting down the cherry tree. It's a story familiar to all American children. We're taught this story from a very young age, how the first president of the United States, George Washington, chopped down a cherry tree on his father's estate when his father wasn't there. And when confronted with his father with the fact that the tree was down, he, of course, admitted to the fact that he had done it, and the virtue of honesty, of course, is being held up by the moral of the story. Historically, the event never happened. It's been traced, of course, by historians to the exact period when the story first appeared, and it is a story that has meaning. It does have truth. I would argue that this story is true. Now, when I say that it's true, I don't mean that it actually happened historically, and I don't mean that we should believe that George Washington was some kind of axe-wielding tree killer or anything like that, but that the truth of the story is that honesty is important, and being honest when we've made mistakes is an important virtue. So there is a truth in that story, and it's appropriate that we continue to tell that story to children and try to help them understand that even those that we consider great in our own tradition sometimes made mistakes, but if they own up to those mistakes, and although there may be consequences for having done something that is wrong, the virtue of being honest about it overrides that concern with punishment or the, if you will, the punishing God standing behind reality. These are the kinds of ideas that are conveyed through mythological thought, ideas that allow for truth to be more dimensional than the simple dimension of historicity. We tend to be pretty single-minded in that regard today, and I think that it's a great mistake to leave behind the value of stories simply because they didn't actually happen. This topic always reminds me of an episode of the 1990s television series Northern Exposure. In the series, there's a doctor who is sent to Alaska to pay off his student loans and, of course, is having a very difficult time living there, and of all the unusual episodes that would occur in such a scenario. In the particular show that I'm thinking of, there was a local Native American shaman or medicine man or tribal elder who was trying to find out what the myths of the white man are. Pardon my use of politically incorrect language here. It simply makes for easier storytelling. And as he goes around to the various cast members in the television show, he asks them about the myths that they tell, the stories that provide meaning for them. And to his surprise, as he interviews one after another of all the residents of the fictional town of Sicily, Alaska, he finds that they don't have myths. They don't have these kinds of stories. The closest he comes is with when one of the characters gives him a version of an urban legend that she had heard and talks about how it's a scary story that maybe really even happened. And at the end, he realizes, the medicine man realizes, that there is no mythology for contemporary American culture. Apart from its standard kind of social commentary that the television show frequently had, there's an important point to be made in this particular episode, and that is that meaning is conveyed in story. I'm often reminded again of another Native American, Black Elk, who in his account of his own life in Black Elk Speaks, a classic that many religious studies students are required to read at some point during their career, when he tells of a great mythical journey he took, or a great visionary journey he took up to see the gods when he was ill as a young man. And when he went through this episode, he saw fantastic visions of things that simply could not be. And when asked later if it really happened, he said, "I don't know that it ever really happened, but this was true." And that particular statement, that kind of confidence, that truth is truth, regardless of historical veracity, is one which we could still use today. Because as we look at the events of history and see how nonsensical they are, I know that just about every day I see things in the newspaper that I can't believe have any sense or meaning in the larger sense of the word for the greater good of humanity, that I sometimes miss the fact that we could tell myths to make sense of our world, and that people would be valued and appreciated for the fact that they could explain things in a way that we're capable of understanding. So I think that as we think about what mythology is, it would be useful for all of us, a useful exercise, to stop thinking of myth in disparaging terms and realize that it is a means of expressing the truth, and that it may be very deeply grounded in our culture, much more deeply than many people are willing to admit.